This is Brian Kaplowitz, and you're listening to the Speaker Match Radio Series, Success Strategies for Speakers from the Pros. This is a live show where we interview top experts in the speaking industry and business to provide emerging speakers with marketing strategies and other business-building advice. If you're listening live, you can participate in this call online right now by going to speakermatch.com/radio.
You may be listening in all over the world. I know there are hundreds of folks who want to be a part of today's call because we're discussing common mistakes speakers make when they create their bio, including the essential elements every bio should showcase. And really, we're going to get into a whole lot more. I couldn't think of a more appropriate topic for emerging and professional speakers, especially because the speaking industry continues to put so much more emphasis on online marketing. Thus, the Speaker Match service and our companion service, GuestMatch.com, which is essentially an online media kit where we let thousands of media people know every week about you as a speaker, an author, or a marketer. So today's guest is going to give us exactly what we need to do to help you update your bio or start your bio from scratch. And I can tell you, we were just talking in the office earlier today about my bio being at least a decade old, and frankly, the picture may be even older than that. So to help us out is a professional bio doctor. Her name is Nancy Jutton. She's the lady to talk with, the author of the book Bye Bye Boring Bio. Say that three times really fast. It's in its second edition now. It's a great resource of case studies, how-tos on creating a fantastic bio, and more. And by the way, there's a link to her book on speakermatch.com/radio if you'd like to learn more. Nancy's going to share her expertise with us today on creating an effective bio that can help you open doors and invite applause and, most importantly, nice speaking fees as well. Now, if you have a question for us as we get into the call, we, of course, love to have that interaction. You just press star 2 to ask your question, and Paul, who is at the Speaker Match Radio Master Control Studio, will let you in on the conversation. You, of course, can always type your questions to us as well if you're a little microphone shy. All right, let's get into things now with our guest, Nancy Jutton, the bio doctor. Welcome to Speaker Match Radio.
Thanks. It's great to be here. Welcome, everyone.
Now, I'm going to start off by asking you to give me your bio. How did you become the bio expert, Nancy?
Well, I became the bio expert by being a publicist for famous people and people seeking to be famous over the last 10 years. But more importantly to people on this call who are mostly emerging speakers who want to step into the spotlight, I think the most compelling thing that I can share with you is that not only have I done this for other people, but I've done this for myself. And having written a book in the last year alone, I did over 40 interviews with everything from CNN, National Public Radio, Blog Talk Radio, the Seattle Times, USA Today, you name it. And if you don't have a decent bio that sets the stage for you to rock the house before you speak your first word, you trip. And you learn that pretty quickly when you do that many interviews. And so my advice comes from the trenches, having worked for other people and having done this for myself, so I can give you that no-holds-barred truth-telling that a lot of people who are very serious about getting seen, heard, celebrated, and compensated really want to hear unedited. So that's how it all happened. And
well,
one
Nancy,
other thing I
couldn't agree with you more, and as a guy who's been in the media for almost three decades now, that bio, having a great bio, is really your entry point. That's your seat at the table. If you don't have that, you've got nothing. Would you agree?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the other thing is social media has put so much more control in the hands of decision makers and people who want to be seen, heard, and celebrated. And so when you have a really great bio where people go looking for your name or your company name and they land on you, if you can grab them immediately and demonstrate that you've got a solution to a problem that's deeply felt, people can get to yes a whole lot faster so that y'all can joint journey forward together to make magic in the marketplace. If you've been taking that old school approach that the curriculum vitae, it all started in a little log cabin in Minnesota approach is going to do it for you, you really got to do a reframe and start over because it's all about stunning results, problems that you solve, and the wow that you deliver for your ideal people so that they can't wait to journey forward together.
Nancy Jutton is our guest. She is the author of Bye Bye Boring Bio. There's a link to the book at Speaker Match Radio. And all of our speakers who are listening, and certainly our guest match members who are listening as well, the media is coming to that site, Guest Match, to check out your bio on a regular basis. And if it doesn't jump off the page or the screen, as the case may be, then there's no entry point to television, radio, print outlets, or online. Nancy, let's get right into it. I'm going to ask the hard questions. You said you were a publicist for over a decade. You've now written a book, and you've done a bunch of media interviews yourself. So I'm sure down through the years you've seen dozens, maybe hundreds of bios. Are there common threads there in terms of the biggest bio blunders that you have seen when people put their bios together?
Oh, indeed there are, and I would invite everyone to pick up a piece of paper and write these things down. ABC DIY, and I'll walk you through them all.
All right.
A, absence of proof and arrogance. Absence of proof. I was talking to a woman, and I said, well, tell me about yourself. She says, I'm a best-selling author. And I said, oh, that's fantastic. What's your book? She tells me. I said, best-selling author, that's a terrific accomplishment. How many books have you sold? And she says, well, truth be told, I've only sold about 300 books. And I said, okay, well, we can't call you a best-selling author yet. We can say that you're aspiring to be a best-selling author.
Sure.
But you can't declare that you're a best-selling author if it's not the truth, because people will find you out. And if you're going to fib about that, what else are you going to fib about? Another arrogance is when people use so many $5 words to describe what they do that they mean nothing at all, or that they have people feeling at arm's length instead of wanting to lean forward. This is another big, big mistake. Because if people don't feel like they can like, trust, and respect you, and maybe even want to break bread with you, they certainly are not going to want to invite you to speak at their next event or hire you for a highly compensated consulting arrangement or whatever the case may be. In today's day and age, better A's as opposed to arrogance and absence of proof would be authenticity and affability. Because that gets to, you know, I would have much rather had this young lady say, I'm aspiring to be a best-selling author, and I'm making it happen one great book sale at a time, as opposed to her saying, I'm a best-selling author, aren't I fabulous? Because the truth always wins. And so those are some of the A's.
I like that. And it seems to me that certainly you want to be able to credential yourself. You want to be able to, if you've done some phenomenal things in your career, you want to be able to put them in there, but it's really about the way you put them in as opposed to putting them in an arrogant sort of way.
Well, and another A would be audience. Who is your audience, and how can you make your credentials relevant to what your audience deeply needs? Because those of us who speak only about ourselves, I'm wonderful, I'm fabulous, I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. When there are too many I's in the equation, all the other vowels are lonely.
That's great. And, you know, when we coach people to do television, radio interviews, we tell them to make them all about the viewer and the listener. So it's all about you, how this affects you. And I agree. In writing your bio, especially if you're a speaker and you're trying to get the attention of these meeting planners, make it about the recipient and how you can solve their problems. Okay, so it's ABC. What's your B?
I've got one more A. This
okay.
is a huge one for emerging speakers. Absence of a compelling headline that stops the decision maker in her tracks. You need to have, if you're speaking about anything, don't say, I speak about everything, y'all come. Say, I help you transform your boring bio from wallpaper to wow to attract clients now. That is a compelling headline. There's an ultimate result that the listener will benefit from that will help them achieve greater prosperity. It eases a pain for which people are desperately seeking a solution, and it sounds like fun. If it sounds blah, 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 boring, nobody's going to go. And if you can't say it in a compelling way in a headline, how is anybody going to believe that you can deliver a 45-minute content in a similar manner? So the headline is super important. Absence of a compelling headline is one of the biggest mistakes emerging speakers make when trying to seek to be transforming from occasionally compensated to routinely well-compensated speakers.
That's excellent. All right, absence of a great headline makes perfect sense. If you're just joining us, Nancy Jutton is our guest today. She is a bio expert, the author of Bye Bye Boring Bio. She says that she has the ABC DIY recipe to make your bio fantastic. We talked about the A's. Now we're up to the B's.
These are my favorite. Blah, 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 boring, and boilerplate.
Okay.
I would invite everyone on the call to look at their bio as if you're meeting yourself online for the first time and ask yourself, when you read about yourself, are you saying to yourself, wow, wonderful, remarkable, memorable, and fabulous? Or are you holding off sleep? You mentioned at the top of this call that maybe you hadn't taken a look at your bio in the last 10 years. I think that you're not alone in this regard, and
sure.
I would also venture to say that a whole lot of good things have happened for you in this last decade that make you even cooler than you were when you first put those words to paper.
Hard to imagine, but I bet you're right.
Yes, and you also mentioned that your photo might not be as up-to-date as it is, as it otherwise might be.
Sure.
And so if you are a speaker and you're going to be on stage, it's really important that when they find you to read your profile online and they look at you, and then when they meet you in person, that it's a match. It's really important.
I think that's huge. And folks,
you know, time
don't
marches
follow
on.
My example. Get it done now.
Yeah, time marches on for all of us. And when we were all 20 or 30, we were all, like, ready for American Idol or whatever. But, you know, time marches on, and lighting is a beautiful thing. So sit for a really great picture so that when people see you online and they meet you in person, it's like, you look exactly like I thought you were going to look. It's fantastic to meet you, or, you know, that happens all the time. Versus, this actually happened to me. A fairly prominent local person here in Seattle invited me to meet him to talk about a variety of things, and I'd never met him before. I'd gotten his newsletter quite a long time, and I said, well, how will I know it's you? He says, well, check out my photo on the website, and I'll do the same. So there was this photograph of a guy that looked to be in his later 40s, and he had a full head of chestnut brown hair, very handsome. So I show up, and I look for this person, and there isn't anybody that looks like him anywhere in the building. And it turns out that photo was taken 20 years ago, and now he's a full head of gray hair. His face has changed a degree, and it was a huge disconnect. So imagine how a meeting planner might feel if they saw somebody's picture and was expecting one thing, and another thing showed up entirely. They might start to feel a little bit nervous. And if the content wasn't delivered in a winning way, chances are there isn't going to be a repeat invitation because there wasn't truth at the start, and it needs to be woven throughout.
Excellent advice.
So if it's blah, 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 boring and boilerplate, you know it because you're sleepy and you're not interested. And in today's ADD world that we live in, people have this ability to flit and float between Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is. So grab them with something memorable, meaningful, remarkable, and compelling. And also try to keep the emphasis on, you know, like I'm going to draw attention to Patricia Fripp, who's a professional speaker who I regard very, very highly. And this is what she says in her very first, she says, Patricia Fripp delivers high content, high performance, entertaining keynote speeches and motivational presentations. And then the first line of her speaking profile says, hiring a speaker is an awesome responsibility. You know, then you need the right speaker with the appropriate message, one who has interesting and relevant content, and one who's known for exceptional delivery skills. And are you seeking a speaker who can maximize your budget? Do you want the security of hiring a speaker who is seasoned professional? Have you considered a professional keynote speaker with the skill, ability, willingness to deliver multiple offerings within each meeting or convention? If this was a meeting planner reading this, it's all about her before she says anything about herself. But implicit in every sentence is that she's promising to do each one of those things. And so that meeting planner who might have started reading her profile with her ears around and her shoulders connected is now breathing a deep sigh of relief, feeling fantastic about having landed at just the perfect place, and that she can't wait to read the rest of it. And that's what I think every emerging speaker should do. Make the decision maker's job easy to say yes.
And so interestingly enough, by the way, Nancy, Ms. Fripp will be a guest on Speaker Match Radio in March. So.
Oh, don't miss it. She is a rock star. Don't miss it.
Outstanding. Okay. All right.
So that was the B's. C stands for content. And you need to have the right content for the right situation. And I kind of like to liken this to Goldilocks. You know, when Goldilocks went into the house and there was three bowls of porridge, there was this one's too hot, this one's too cold, this one's just right. There's a just right bio link for every situation. For example, if you are a speaker and you're on Twitter, Twitter will allow you to have 160 characters to describe who you are and why you're fabulous. What 160 characters will you be sharing? Here's someone who used her 160 characters really well. She says, this is Melanie Benson-Strick. She says she's a fast-paced visionary leader, kick-butt biz mentor for entrepreneurs, a new dog mommy trying to save her shoes, who craves Starbucks, exotic travel, and spas. Doesn't she sound fabulous?
I want to hang out with her right now.
And she's beautiful, too.
I want to hang out with her even more.
So here's the thing about Melanie. There are 20,000 people following her on Twitter. And not long ago, she was named by HubSpot as among the top 10 women business owners on Twitter who is the most influential. Having a Twitter profile that's alive with personality that makes clear the ultimate result that she delivers in a sassy, authentic way that gets you to that like, trust, and respect place fast has gotten her to the point where she has so much influence. And if even a small percentage of the people who were following her on Twitter decided to engage her as a speaker or engage her as a coach, it's no wonder she's a seven-figure earner. So content. You get 160 characters on Twitter. If you're going to be introduced by CNN Radio, they will not read your manifesto bio before they interview you. You need two sentences that gets to the meat of the matter in a winning way, and they can say, and welcome to the show. If you're going to be on, this is another thing about content, speakers that show up to speak need to have an introduction that the MC will read so that the audience is Twitter-pating before the speaker speaks the first word that they can't wait to see what happens next. Doesn't that happen for you?
Did you say Twitter-pating?
I sure did.
I thought so.
you've heard of Brian Tracy. He's written 42 books and probably addresses 250,000 people every year, important aspects of human potential. Well, I was really impressed when he came to Seattle a couple of years ago. And, you know, everybody was excited to see him because he's certainly got a rock star reputation. But what I'd noticed is how well prepared he was. He showed up on time. He looked fabulous. He had his one-page speaker introduction in his breast pocket. And when it came time for him to be introduced, the MC was able to read this word for word. And by the time the introduction was over, all 300 people in the audience were on their feet giving this speaker a standing ovation.
Oh, that's fantastic. And it all
And here's the beautiful thing. We don't all have to be Brian Tracy to have the same thing happen. I invite everyone who's a speaker to prepare the speaker introduction that they want read before they speak their first word, because because when they do, sometimes it happens. This has happened to me many times. The MC says, oops, I forgot to print out your speaker introduction. Do you have one on the money? Do you have one now? If you didn't have one in your breast pocket, then they would scramble. That would create for you this uneasy feeling that maybe things aren't going to start as strongly as they otherwise could. What if they pronounced your name incorrectly? What if they didn't say who you were in such a compelling way that the audience didn't even care that you were showing up? You don't want this to happen. So have a speaker introduction already prepared that makes you sound like a rock star so that as you are aspiring to be Brian Tracy, you can have that same experience of being polished, showing up on time, making it easy for the MC to look like a rock star, making it easy for him to make you sound like a rock star so that everyone in the audience wants to follow your inspiring advice and do great things in the world.
And what a great tip there from Nancy Jutton. Be sure you print up a copy of your bio and bring it with you whenever you do these speaking engagements, just in case your meeting planner didn't remember to print it and bring it with him or her. Nancy, by the way, is the author of Bye Bye Boring Bio. There's a link to the book at speakermatch.com/radio. And if you have any questions about writing your bio or the content, the blah, 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 any of the ABCs and the DIYs, then by all means hit *2 and you can be a part of the conversation. And I will say, by the way, to speak to the content piece, Nancy, we had a client whose book was featured this week on Jimmy Fallon's late night TV talk show, and it was because in her bio on her book jacket, rather than putting that she had gone to Harvard and Yale and that she summered in the Hamptons and this and that, she put a line in there that she lives with a 19-year-old geriatric cat. And, of course, Jimmy Fallon, funny guy, that tickled his funny bone, and so he brought it up on the show. It absolutely works perfectly when you're going after those big media hits. So great,
oh, absolutely.
Great advice. All right, we're up to the DIYs now in your recipe
okay,
for bio success.
D stands for differentiate, or alternatively, failure to differentiate. Is there anything memorable, meaningful, or remarkable in that bio of yours? You know, I've done a lot of work in banking over the years, and I have talked to an awful lot of bankers. And bankers tend to have graduated from prestigious universities, attended the prestigious Pacific Coast Banking School. They live in lovely neighborhoods and send their children to private school. All of their bios sound the same. Whitney Houston, I sometimes say to people, you know, Whitney Houston, we would often say that sometimes all her songs sound the same. If your bio sounds like everybody else's, then you've got to start with a clean sheet of paper. An important part of differentiating is also making clear that you're the perfect person for the job. And I can't tell you how many dating coaches I've spoken with that have conveniently forgot to say that they're living happily ever after with their perfect partner and traveling the world, going to the weddings of the people that they've happily hooked up.
Sure.
If your bio for your dating coach said that you were living alone in your 700-square-foot apartment with your three cats, nobody would hire you.
That's exactly right.
So differentiation. I stands for I. I made reference to this earlier. But sometimes people forget that while it is a bio, it's ultimately a bio framed from the standpoint of what you want your ultimate audience member to do, feel, and remember. So if you make your audience, the reader, feel great, feel like they've landed at the right place, and that they have the solution to the problem that's deeply felt, you're getting to yes by shifting the focus to them instead of you. So as I said earlier, if there's too many I's in your bio, shift the focus from I to you, and you will engage the reader more readily, and they will love what you have to say. Another thing very basic is the way you start sentences in your bio. Sometimes I get bios from clients, and every sentence starts with, Karen did this, Karen did that, Karen did this, Karen did that. That's boring. You know, you got to shake up your sentence structure. And, you know, going back to differentiation, one of the things that everyone can do to differentiate, which is incredibly powerful, is to have what I call a sassy soundbite at the very top of your bio. A sassy soundbite is a way to differentiate yourself from everyone else just by showing who you are. I'll use Patricia Fripp as an example.
Okay.
She was fortunate to be quoted by Kiplinger's Personal Finance magazine, which said, an investment in Patricia Fripp's speaking school is considered among the 6 best investments you can make in your professional career. Isn't that amazing?
That's fantastic.
So, you know, it's one thing for us to say that our speaking school is great. It's another thing for a prestigious business periodical to say that yours is the 6th best investment they can make in their professional career. Because that magazine said it, it has this halo of credibility around it that just makes you feel like it's so much easier to say yes. And that's what happens for her. I think she's probably among the most successful speakers on the circuit today, and it's well-deserved because she's really fantastic.
Well, and you're exactly right, and that gets you away from that arrogance that you spoke of earlier where it's all about I. If you've got that credentialing from a media outlet, Boy, that goes a long way.
It sure does. And here's another. My husband, Steve Jutton, is a certified financial planner who helps people achieve their financial dreams one step at a time. And how many people out there are doing that? There's a lot of them. But the sassy soundbite that he has at the very top of his bio reads as follows. People hire me for my head, pay me for my heart, and trust me most when I use both. Isn't that fabulous?
That is terrific, and that may be the best financial planner piece I've ever heard. Would you repeat that for us one more time?
Yes, and it's people hire me for my head, pay me for my heart, and trust me most when I use both. My husband's website is finpath.com. You'll notice it's a very simple website. But here's the thing that's really important. There are 27 million people hanging out their shingle in Free Agent Nation across America. Every one of them is screaming for some attention so they can attract clients and get seen, heard, celebrated, and compensated for their winning ways. If you have a simple website and you have a very specific expertise, you need clients. And if the very first sentence that they read about you is a soundbite like that, it is one of those kind of soundbites that either you love it or you don't. If you love it, you read on, and by the time you finish reading about this person, you're picking up the phone. And that is what I want for everyone who's listening to this call. How can you lead off your bio in such a way that there's a sassy soundbite right at the top that lets you know, as the reader, that you've landed at the right place and you're going to get exactly what you want and that this is the perfect person? Because we all have limited time in our lives. We don't have time to talk to the wrong people. If only the right people called us and we could get to yes faster, how much better would our lives be? How much better would the economy be? How much better would the marketplace be? There's no downside. So start with a great way to say it, and you'll be on your way.
I think you're right. A terrific descriptor, and from all my years in broadcasting, running radio stations for CBS and other companies, it was all about that descriptor. How can you describe what your station does right away? And it translates right into what we do with our media marketing and PR and what you do with bios. We've got questions coming in, but I want you to get to your why in the DIY. What is the why in creating the perfect bio?
The Y is just for fun, like a nice Jewish girl. Y stands for yada, yada, yada. And here's what I mean by that. Brevity is beautiful. Concise is fantastic. Sometimes people, in that arrogance style, will try to use a whole lot of words to impress you, and it's a whole lot of words that don't say anything at all. And I want to give you an example. This really happened just this week. I asked this person to write down for me what she does. This is what she said.
Okay.
She says, just a second here.
Nancy is stretching across her desk.
Quote, I work closely with my clients to understand their unique situations, issues, and objectives and design solutions together with them. I tap into a wide range of resources, training activities, and assessments to create programs that meet their specific needs. What do you think about that?
What does she do?
I don't know.
I have no idea.
That's my point. I read it a second and third time, and I thought to myself, if she was a dog trainer that solved behavior problems for my neighbor's Bernese Mountain Dog, or if she was a highly compensated expert who helped people solve their financial problems, I didn't know what she did after reading all those words. And that was like five lines of text that said nothing at all. That's what I call yada, yada, yada. Make every word count. And so I would invite you to think about this. This is really important. Write this down. Who is your ideal client? What magic do you deliver for them that delivers an ultimate result for which they are prepared to invest money to solve? What difference does it make? And why does it matter? And why are you the ultimate person to make that pain go away? These are the things that every bio should include if you're truly serious about attracting clients and engagements. Because when you get to those points, who your ideal client is, the problem you solve for them for which they're prepared to invest money to address, why you are the perfect person, and why it matters now more than ever, because you want that urgency. If you don't have that, you're not going to be doing business very, very well. And I want everybody to be having a lot of yes conversations as soon as possible.
Excellent advice from Nancy Jutton. She is the author of Bye Bye Boring Bio. It's phenomenal advice for speakers, certainly for speakers and authors and entrepreneurs who also want to do media. If you are a member of GuestMatch.com and you don't have a phenomenal bio up there, then those media outlets are going to go right past you. And I can tell you, we hear from the Fox News on a regular basis, MSNBC, CNBC, CNN, and that bio really needs to jump out. Nancy's throwing out lots of great information. If you can't jot it all down during the call, remember the replay is available after the fact at speakermatch.com/radio for Speaker Match Radio. Let's dive right into the questions. And you mentioned Patricia Fripp earlier on the call. Patricia will be a special guest on Speaker Match Radio March 31st at noon Central Time. So put that in your calendar. And Patricia is listening today. And she has a question from San Francisco. Patricia wants to know, in your opinion, Nancy, should you list your program titles that you offer in your bio?
If you're an emerging speaker, I recommend that you have – that's an excellent question. Thank you, Patricia. I'm honored that you're listening. And, yes, you should, but be careful not to overwhelm, because too much can prevent people from getting to a yes decision, and a confused mind never buys. So I recommend leading with the three most popular presentations that you give and letting that be a starting point for a great conversation with the decision maker. Anything more than three, and my fear is that they will be confused and that they won't buy.
Great. And part two of that question from Patricia, what is the biggest mistake that most speakers make in trying to sell themselves when they do it in print or online?
I think that's an excellent question, and I would think that keeping the focus more too much on them instead of the need that they can fulfill for their client would be among the biggest mistakes that people make. And I would venture to say that Patricia has some comments to share about what she's experienced in that regard, and if she'd be willing to comment, I think we could all be edified by that, because she's got a lot more experience in this than I do.
But, excellent. And I think you're right. It needs to be focused on the end user, the end consumer. And by the way, thanks to Eric in Niagara-on-the-Lake in Ontario for chiming in and typing his question in, too. If you'd like to ask a question, it's star two, and that'll raise your virtual hand. You can also type those in on the website.
Can I make one other comment that I think is super important?
Of course.
One of the biggest mistakes that any speaker makes is not being prepared. And in today's day and age where internet marketing is such a big deal, people are doing webinars and teleseminars and other kinds of things all of the time. And many people are putting together telesummits where multiple experts are going to be speaking over various weeks of time. One of the biggest mistakes that people make who are serious about being invited to play is not having a teleseminar packet ready to go at any given moment. What I mean by that is you want to have a teleseminar packet ready. So when Speaker Match calls and says, we'd love to have you on the show, can you please send us your bio, how you want to be introduced, please share the five questions you most want to ask and answer during the call so that we can have a great conversation. If you feel comfortable roughing in some of your answers so there are no surprises during the call, that's a great thing to do. If there's a special offer that you might be extending that would be of value to the listeners, please specify. Offer your phone number so they can reach you. Offer an alternative phone number so if there's an emergency, they can get in touch with you. When you have that ready to go, and speaking to Patricia's point, if she has three speaking things that she talks about, have all that ready so that when someone says, will you please contribute to my telesummit, you can say, yes, it would be my honor, and let me send you that information that you're going to need right this minute. Let me tell you why that's a great thing. That teleseminar host who's talking to 42 experts is going to realize that you are truly serious about doing this regularly and that you're going to be so well prepared and make their job so easy that they're going to invite you back again and again. And not only that, they're going to talk about you and how well prepared you were to all the other people that they associate with, and that's going to bring you additional invitations. Preparedness is so much a value to your decision maker, but it's ultimately a value to you, because then you don't have that last minute scramble. You don't have that message point SOS. You don't have that, oh, shoot, I've got to take my eye off this other ball so I can take care of that, and I'm going to miss some opportunity that I wasn't anticipating. Readiness counts for a lot for all parties, so please be prepared.
Great advice. Nancy Jutton is our guest. She's the author of Bye Bye Boring Bio, and we have questions that continue to roll in. The next one is from Bob in Tucson, and he talks about, and the phrase he uses here, and you may have to define that for me, Nancy, is the hyperbolic bio. Seems to credibility. He says in his question that they seem to lack, you know, credibility. The greatest speaker, see results in just 60 minutes, have you laughing in the aisles, and so on. And he says, you know, so many speakers have versions of them. What gives? Do you think, Nancy, that those really work, you know, to call attention to speakers or appeal to planners, you know, deliver on the hype? So what's your thought on those bios that seem to lack credibility?
Specificity is a great antidote for hyperbole. One of the ways you can address it, if the audience members are rolling in the aisles, what if there's a statement in there that says, here's what audience members have said about Mary Jane's presentation. Quote with attribution, quote with attribution, quote with attribution. That's the way, specificity is a beautiful thing. So when in doubt, call it out and put meat to the matter, because the blah, blah, blah probably raises more eyebrows than creates smiles. And I think that if you think it's sounding like hyperbolic, I think that's the way you called it. It
yep.
probably is. Take a fresh approach. And also, people never remember your lists of things. They remember the stories that you tell about those things. And I think that weaving a nice little story, like, I'll tell you, blah, 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 boring. I know how to keep a secret because I'm a publicist and people have to be able to trust me. So I could certainly say to people, I know how to keep a secret, but so what? They're never going to remember that. But what I say is, I know how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop, and I'll never tell. It's a totally different way to say that. And people remember it. And it's actually in my bio, and it's true, because as a 9-year-old, I wrote a letter to the president of Tootsie Pop and said that I figured out how many licks it took to get to the center, and he sent me a certificate back that said, very few people in the world know how many licks it takes to get to the center, and this certificate belongs to one of the few who do. And that started me on this path of writing for results as a 9-year-old, because I wrote a letter, I got a response, he made me feel important, I liked the way that felt, and so here I am all these many years later helping other people to feel important, telling their stories. Stories matter. So if you're using hyperbole, tell something true and real that puts proof behind it, and I think you'll be well on your way.
An additional recommendation we might make on the media end is if you have an online media kit at guestmatch.com on your website, and you have a video clip, let's say that you know, you make the claim of keeping people laughing in the aisles, you know, have a clip showing an audience realistically doing that. You know,
I'm really glad you brought that up because, you know, I've been on this journey to become a better speaker for the last several years, and I did go to Patricia Fripp Speaking School, and I can't say enough about it. But someone said to me, you really ought to have video of who you are and what you talk about on your speaker page. And so last year I had a number of videos created that I was really happy about. And this really happened. Sometimes, because along our emerging path to becoming a routinely compensated speaker, we do a lot of free speaking. And I get a lot of those requests. And so someone emailed me and said I was highly recommended and would I consider doing this thing. And I said, well, I'm honored to be asked and honored to be referred. May I invite you to my speaker page so you can learn about the topics that are most popular and get a sense of what I'm all about? And if it's a fit, let's have a conversation. Because I had a feeling it was one of those pro bono opportunities, and I just wanted to make everybody's time go fast.
Sure.
And so the person goes to my speaker page, and she watches my video, and she reads what people have said about my presentations, and then she writes me back, after looking at your speaker page, I'm convinced that you should be our keynote speaker. Can we have a conversation? I'd like to know your requirements. And that resulted in a 4-figure speaking gig and an audience of 300 people, which delivered me, I don't know how many new clients and how many spin-off engagements. And it was because I was dressed and ready to go. Again, this whole preparation thing, we think, oh, we're just going to wait for the phone to ring and we're going to wing it when it happens. But when you give them audio to listen to and video to watch and testimonials of audience members who've heard you speak and say that you're good, you make it so easy. It's an easy yes, and then it's just a matter of negotiating your requirements. How much better would every speaker's life be if that was happening? So do have a video that shows you in action, the way you look like today with the audience smiling and laughing and responding, because a picture's worth a thousand words, and moving pictures are even better.
Fantastic advice, and of course, if you have a clip of yourself on TV, we have a client who did the Today Show recently, you know, you put that clip on and it shows you being warm and affable on the couch with Matt Lauer, and you know, that will open doors as well. Our guest is the author of Bye Bye Boring Bio, Nancy Jutton. And Nancy, there's a great question here from Andrea Adams Miller in Findlay, Ohio, and this is very interesting. We've actually gotten a couple of calls like this recently from potential clients here. Andrea has a controversial topic, and she writes, Nancy, she is behind the website sexualitytutor.com, and she wants to convey that although she talks about sexuality, her consulting practice is professional and respectful, nothing inappropriate or illegal, and she wants to know how we suggest she goes about presenting that in her bio.
Oh.
So if you've got something that's controversial, how do you put it out there, you know, to both stoke interest but also to not tamp down folks that may think, this isn't right for me? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to offer an analogy. You know, when you're walking down the street and you're on vacation and there's a beautiful restaurant to the right and there's a menu posted in the window? And the reason the menu is posted in the window is because it's making it easy for you, the potential diner, to decide if what's on the menu and the price point and the way they describe what they do is a perfect fit. And if you like what you read, you walk in and have lunch. And if you don't like what you read, you keep walking.
Sure.
I think when we have a really polarizing kind of topic, I believe you have to call it like it is and let people know what it is, so that they can get to an easy yes or an easy no, because if it's a polarizing topic, chances are you're not going to water it down when you get a chance to talk about it. So I think you have to show up as you are, and that would be my answer to that.
And, Andrea, if I can add on, you talk about very plainly in your message to us that your consulting practice is professional and respectful, not anything inappropriate or illegal, and so I think you're right up front with that right away, and let people know that, hey, although we are, you know, sexuality tutors, that this isn't anything that's going to make you blush. And I can tell you that we in our firm work with people that deal with controversial topics, including sexuality, in a very Christian marketplace. And it's all in how you frame things up. So I think there's opportunities there for you, no matter what the controversial topic is. If you have a question, star two is the way you can get to our special guest on Speaker Match Radio, Nancy Jutton, the author of Bye Bye Boring Bio. She's in Seattle. I'm Burke Allen in Washington, D.C., and I have a question of an inside term that I see bandied about occasionally, and I want to know what you think it is, Nancy, and that is the speaker sheet. What is a speaker sheet? And is it important in what should go in there?
A speaker sheet is that tool that resides on your website or exists as a downloadable PDF that highlights your photo, what you talk about, the key audience takeaways that they will learn at the feet of your wisdom, how to enroll or engage your services, and other such information. It's a useful tool to get people to see that you're serious about what you're doing and you're making it easy for them to make a yes decision. I've spoken with many people that say, I don't have a speaker sheet, I don't have any of that, and I've got all the invitations I want. And for those people, I say, good for you. But for those people, I also say, why don't you get your act together and put your speaker sheet together? Because if you did, instead of just willy-nilly entertaining these opportunities and having to talk about your terms and requirements, your speaker sheet could actually articulate your fees, your travel requirements, all these other kinds of things that would ultimately save your breath. One of my colleagues posts his speaking fee at $25,000 per keynote so that he can dissuade people who are looking for a free speaker to stop wasting his time. So here again, having a speaker sheet is, if you're one of those people that has all the invitations that you want and you're happy with that and the way that it's going is using your time wisely and that sort of thing, well, keep on keeping on. But I would say apply that Japanese term Kaizen, continuous improvement. Create a speaker sheet so that people know what you speak about. Maybe you even post your availability in your calendar, because how many phone calls do you want to take with people finding out whether or not you're available on the date of their particular event? Make it easy for them, but make it easy for you, because how much of your valuable time will you be spending talking to the wrong people who have no budget to afford your fabulous services? You have to limit the field. So by having a speaker sheet, you serve yourself, you serve them, and you serve your audience too.
Now, what goes into a great speaker sheet? Are there certain ingredients that you think should be there? And certainly, you talked about your colleague that puts his fee there. Are there certain things you should put in that sort of invite compensation, so to speak?
Well, I think this is personal for everyone, but I do think there's a speaker I know that says, "I'm not a diva. You can count on me to roll up my sleeves and make things happen no matter what happens on event day. I'm going to be sitting on the same side of the table trying to make our event fantastic so that you, the meeting planner, are glad that I came to play." So, you know, adding a statement of your philosophy about contributing to a win-win-win outcome is a nice way to put some personality to this that's of service to your decision maker. Making it easy for them to get in touch with you, making it easy for them to know what you talk about, what audience members say. Are there links where people can visit to actually see your video or listen to your most recent presentations? I think if you look at some of the rock star speakers who are out there and read how if the people that you most admire in the world, check out their speaker sheets and see how they do it. And I say this affectionately. I say R&D, rob and duplicate, lift and separate. Find that thing that they do that you could adapt to your own way, because Oprah says, you know, surround yourself only with those who lift you higher. Who's really the rock star in your field? How are they getting all those gigs? If they're getting all those gigs, maybe they have a speaker sheet from which you can profit and copy it. Here's one. Bill Stainton is a humorous keynote speaker, a Beatles expert, and a comedy writer. And his speaker sheet is so simple. It says he's a multiple Emmy-winning TV producer, writer, and performer, a highly sought-after keynote speaker, and an internationally recognized Beatles expert. Not bad for a kid who grew up behind a dairy farm in the Amish countryside of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Today, he blends the business smarts he learned from 20 years in corporate management with the showbiz sparks he gleaned from working with people like Jerry Seinfeld, Ellen DeGeneres, and Jay Leno to create riveting presentations enjoyed by audiences around the world. Focusing primarily on leadership, teamwork, and innovation, Bill calls upon his background as a comedy writer to customize each keynote to each individual client. And unlike some leadership speakers, he's actually led a successful team.
That's great.
Then he says, so what's his background? You'll notice this is very conversational. Well, for 15 years, Bill was an executive producer at this legendary TV show Almost Live. He did this, he did that, he did the other. He promises to give your audience something to think about, something to laugh about, and give them reason to say, this is the best meeting ever. Book him. The most important thing on your speaker sheet is the call to action. How can they call you to book you now? What's your phone number? What's your email address? What's your cell phone number? Let's get to yes as soon as possible and be you.
I love that. I love the writing on that that speaker sheet as well. Are there, in doing these speaker sheets, some mistakes that you have seen as you review these speaker sheets that folks should avoid?
Well, I would go back to ABC DIY, absence of proof.
Sure.
Arrogance, boring, bland, too much content. This is a real story. James Donaldson is an NBA All-Star, a 20-year entrepreneur, and someone who's run for city office. He's also written a new book called Standing Above the Crowd, and he really does because he's 7'2". And he's had an amazing background. And I said, well, what do you really want to have happen, James? He says, I want to be a routinely well-compensated speaker. I said, well, where is your speaker sheet now? And he shared with me this 3-page manifesto that was like everything he'd ever done in his life, which was fascinating. Mm-hmm. But it was too much information. So I said to him, James, are you open to some upgrades? And he said, yes. I said, okay, less is more, all right? He said, okay. So I asked him what he spoke about. I asked him who he'd spoken about to before. I asked him all these things. Turned around a 1-page bio for him that was a speaker sheet that he was just over the moon about. And the very next week, he got a $15,000 gig.
Fantastic.
And he says to me, why did I just discover you now? I didn't know how to do this before. So the biggest mistakes people make with speaker sheets are the same big mistakes they make with media relations, the same big mistakes they make with trying to attract clients. Absence of proof, arrogance, boring boilerplate, blah, 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 not the right content for the right situation. They fail to differentiate, too many I's instead of U's, and too much yada, yada, yada. That may sound all, like, overwhelming, and what I know to be true is that a lot of people spend hours and hours and hours trying to write about themselves, and they find that it's really hard. And the fact of the matter, it is, because maybe we were told by our mother that it's not nice to talk about ourselves, or maybe we were told to be humble, or maybe we can't see the light that's our brightness for others to see. So sometimes it's nice to have someone reflect back to you why you're so amazing, or to have a tool to help you ask the questions that you need to ask yourself to really unpeel the onion and get to the magic that is you. And that's really how I help people and how my programs and offerings help people help themselves, or I can help them in whatever shape or form it's necessary. Because if you can't do this for yourself, how many hours have you wasted trying to get it right? If it's not your genius, bring in the reinforcements, because you have brilliance to give to the marketplace if only people knew what the heck it was. And that's really the rub for a lot of people, is they just can't get to the meat of the matter in a compelling way that gets people to yes fast. And the sooner people learn how to do that, the better off we're all going to be.
Nancy, you know, I couldn't agree more. And the same principles, by the way, folks who are listening, apply to our most successful media pitches. When we have landed clients on major media outlets, and TV, radio, and the New York Times, Washington Post, those most successful media pitches are not pages and pages long. They are, you know, one or two paragraphs and a couple of bullet points and a concise, catchy bio, and boom, you're in there. And by the way, I should tell you that James Donaldson, who you referenced, is a Speaker Match member, and as you said, after Nancy cleaned his bio up, he got a $15,000 speaking opportunity, so that's fantastic. We have time for one more question, so I'm going to sneak it in under the wire here. It's from Mary, and she says, once you have this amazing bio, and perhaps she's referring to a bio, Nancy, that you've written, once you have this amazing bio on your website, you have it ready to send out, do you have to wait to be asked for it? How do you go about sending it out to create interest? And I will tell you, Mary, as a Speaker Match member, you will get solicitations, where folks will say we're looking for a speaker with your particular area of expertise, and at that opportunity, you can send it out. But are there other tips, Nancy, in terms of sending out your amazing bio once it's done and getting it out there in the world to create interest?
Yes, here's some great suggestions. Number one is, I want your speaker sheet and your speaker bio to reside on your website or blog, so it can be your 24/7 silent salesperson anywhere around the world where people are looking for you. When you make a submission to Speaker Match or whatever it is that you're Speakers Bureau, or go direct to an organization or a conference board or whatever it is, the beauty of having that link live on your website is that you were referencing a moment ago when you're making pitches. If someone says, we're looking for a speaker who can do this, that, or the other, I need to hear from you by this date, you can respond with a timely email that says, let the search for your perfect speaker for this event end with me, because I've got exactly the qualifications and the wow that you're looking for. Here's a quick link to my speaker page and video and audio so that you can experience this in short order for yourself and come to that yes decision. Because most times if you're using email, putting an attachment to it gives people pause. They won't want to open your attachment. They're afraid that you're going to have a virus or something like this.
Sure.
So your speaker information should reside online so that people can access it at any time with one click. Number two, these services like healthareporter.com, pitchrate.com, bloggerlinkup.com, reporterconnection.com, they're often posting for experts who can talk about leadership, motivation, inspiration, whatever subject matter expertise that you may have. And so when you respond to a query that's looking for someone just like you, you do have to say, I saw your query on Help a Reporter, and I'm the perfect person to respond. This is not the answer to your question. Here's a link to my bio and my credentials so you can know that I'm absolutely the right person, having already been interviewed by ABC and CBS and Good Morning America. I'm media savvy, media ready, and I can't wait to be of service. Let's continue the conversation. Boom, 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 and you're done.
And it's all already right there, and it's turnkey. And you're right, Nancy. And by the way, bios are usually displayed when planners search the Speaker Match Showcase. So, of course, Speaker Match, a great place to promote your bio, as well as Guest Match, which very much like the other services, you know, Help a Reporter and Pitch Rate and the others, if you have your bio all set and perfect and right there, then when, you know, a media professional or a meeting planner is looking for you, maybe they do a random Google search and your bio pops right up. If it's
well, and if your bio pops right up and it puts them right to sleep, then the door is closed and that opportunity is yesterday.
That's exactly right. It's got to be right on the money, so you know you don't often get a second chance to make a good first impression. And that's exactly, by the way, what Nancy Jutton does. She helps you make a good first impression. You can pick up her book, Bye Bye Boring Bio, at bookstores everywhere and, of course, online at Amazon. And also, it's right here linked at speakermatch.com. .com/radio. But if folks want one-on-one work with you, Nancy, is that something that you offer?
Absolutely. I provide something called an extreme bio makeover, where you do a little homework, we spend time on the phone talking about you, and when the phone call is over, I put my word wizardry to your best advantage by turning it into a bio that will make you beam with pride and help you get seen, heard, celebrated, and compensated for your expert status. And people rave about this service. I've worked with true self mentors, massage therapists, CEOs of multinational corporations, founders of chocolate companies, authors of books, emerging speakers, and people tell me, oh my gosh, what you did with what I gave you is nothing short of reason for celebration. They should wave a flag in your honor, what you did to turn me around and make me look like the rock star I knew I could be if I just got a little help. So if that's of interest to anyone, be sure to mention Speaker Match when you call me, and I'll go above and beyond the call to make you happy that you came to my awareness and that I came to yours.
Well, let's get your contact information. You mentioned the phone, and if you have a website as well, if you could throw that out. And by the way, if you've missed any portion of this call, or if you need to jot down some of those websites that were mentioned earlier, this call will be available after the fact on Speaker Match Radio. So how can folks reach you, Nancy?
The best place to visit is byeboringbio.com. On that page, you can opt in to receive my newsletter, which will then deliver to you the Rockstar Status Reality Check so you can figure out how really ready you are to step into the spotlight. And you'll also get 3 additional bonuses just for signing up for the newsletter. And while you're there, if you decide to treat yourself to Bye Bye Boring Bio, please do. If you say Speaker Match when you treat yourself to this, I have 3 Share Your Story bonuses that I will toss in as an additional value just for being a member of Speaker Match. Because here's what I want you to remember. You can get all overwhelmed by all of this, but it comes down to this. Prepare your story, share your story, rinse and repeat. It doesn't get more simple than that. And so I'm going to share with you how to prepare your story with Bye Bye Boring Bio, and then I'm going to give you 3 additional reports that help you share your story with lots of engaging examples of real people just like you and me who have used these tips to their advantage. And if you just do 5 of these things every day, you're going to be brilliantly successful just by taking one deliberate step at a time. Prepare your story, share your story, rinse and repeat, and you will be seen, heard, celebrated, and compensated for your winning ways so the marketplace can celebrate.
Excellent advice, and this works for speakers trying to impress meeting planners, and of course, if you want to be on national media, Nancy has done that with her own work, and we certainly do that through Allen Media Strategies and Guest Match, but you've got to have that phenomenal bio buttoned up first. The website, again, if you'd like to visit Nancy Jutton online and pick up those free bonuses, is buyboringbio.com. Now, remember, a replay of this call is available on iTunes and at speakermatch.com/radio under the replay tab. And by the way, if you've liked what you've heard today, please rate us on iTunes and help us get the word out. Nancy Jutton, you are fantastic. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Herb. Thank you so much.
You bet. Special thanks to Paul DeLuhl at Speaker Match Radio Central.
Thanks for listening to this installment of the Speaker Match Radio Series, Success Strategies for Speakers from the Pros. Speaker Match is the leading provider of tools and services for emerging professional speakers. You can find more information about Speaker Match at www.speakermatch.com. Our toll-free number, if you prefer to reach us by phone, is 1-866-372-8768. International callers can reach us at area code 512-372-8768.